Hello and welcome to St. Andrew's and All Saints and our contemporary worship today. If you are joining us for the first time, then let me introduce myself. I'm Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St. Andrew's and All Saints, and it's a delight to welcome you. And if it's not your first time as well, welcome for joining us. Today we're continuing our series, Teaching into the God's Promises. And today we're going to be teaching into part one of the promise of healing, and all of that in the context of us coming out of the pandemic. So let us begin our worship. I'm going to read from Psalm 30, and then we're going to move into a time of sung worship. So Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. So wherever you are this morning, come to the Lord with dancing, rejoicing, with thanksgiving. Know that God is good. He loves and adores you and calls you by name. So let us worship the Lord.
I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. 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 Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you. Much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm calling back to a heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve.
Much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing. It's all It's all about you, Jesus.
Lord, it's all about you. Help us to have our hearts and our eyes fixed on you. Not just today, not just this time of worship, but in every part of every day, every week, every month, every year. That you're the priority. You're the focus. You're the heart of worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now we're teaching into healing. And perhaps there's no greater healing than when you've been away from the Lord and you come back into relationship with the Lord and come to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And I hope many of you are aware that on Thursday is Ascension, and that marks the beginning of the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative, which many of you will be very familiar with. It's a global initiative started some years ago by the Archbishop of Canterbury. And the focus is to pray between Ascension to Pentecost, a period of 10 days, and specifically be praying for those who don't yet know Jesus. And in the midst of that is a sort of call to pray for five, to name and think of five people who don't yet know Jesus, who need that miracle of being able to return to Jesus and know Jesus as his Lord and or her Lord and Saviour. And so here's a video about the praying for five.
So, in the 11 days, Thy Kingdom Come, will you find five people? Pray for them, maybe on the hour, every hour, whenever their names come through, and go through that routine of five. You're going to be surprised on how your own prayer life actually becomes a joy and a delight. Because you're no longer focusing on Sentamu, oh God, please Sentamu, help me. No, you're focusing on others like Jesus we see him on the cross. May Thy Kingdom Come, bring us all such blessing, such joy, seeing people finding Jesus Christ and others having their faith renewed and others for the first time going out to serve other people. I've got my five. Find your five and pray for them daily. You'll be amazed what the Lord does.
So I'm sure some of you are quite familiar with that and been involved in before. So my challenge, my invitation to us all is to think, who are the five that we might pray for? And as we go into that 10 days, how are we going to remember each day? Now, we'll have many different ideas about how we remember to pray for people. May note them on their names on a list, perhaps put it on the fridge. But one idea, you might like to perhaps make a bracelet or something with five knots on it, or get a piece of string, put a knot, five knots for each person, and then have that in your pocket. And each time you think of or feel that string, you could be praying for those people. There is such fruit with people coming to know Jesus as a result of this global prayer. Now, in addition, Churches Together are going to be hosting an evening prayer time at 6 o'clock on Zoom. The details are in the newsletter. Come and join that. We really understand that 6 is not an ideal time for everybody, but we've felt again to go for that time. So I hope you can join us 6 o'clock starting on Thursday. Zoom details are in the newsletter. So I'm now going to ask Anna to come and read this morning's reading.
The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17, and talks about various ways Jesus healed people. Jesus heals a man. When Jesus came down from the hill, large crowds followed him. Then a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease came to him. He knelt down before him and said, "Sir, if you want to, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "I do want to," he answered. "Be clean." At once the man was healed of his disease. And then Jesus said to him, "Listen, don't tell anyone, but go straight to the priest and let him examine you. In order to prove to everyone that you are cured, offer the sacrifice that Moses ordered." Jesus heals a Roman officer's servant. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman officer met him and begged for help. "Sir, my servant is sick in bed at home, unable to move and suffering terribly." "I will go and make him well," Jesus said. "Oh no, sir," answered the officer, "I do not deserve to have you come into my house. Just give the order and my servant will get well. I too am a man under the authority of superior officers and I have soldiers under me. I order this one go and he goes. I order that one come and he comes. And I order my slave do this and he does this." When Jesus heard this, he was surprised and said to the people following him, "I tell you, I have never found anyone in Israel with faith like this. I assure you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But those who should be in the kingdom will be thrown out into darkness, where they will cry and grind their teeth." Then Jesus said to the officer, "Go home, and what you believe will be done for you." And the officer's servant was healed from that very moment. Jesus heals many people. Jesus went to Peter's home, and there he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, people brought to Jesus many who had demons in them, and Jesus drove out the evil spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. He did this to make what the prophet Isaiah had said come true. "He took our sicknesses and carried away our diseases." This is the word of the Lord.
So today is the first of two parts of exploring God's promise of healing. And the context is to consider our healing as a nation, as a community, and as individuals as we re-emerge from lockdown. And our focus today is going to be on our own individual healing, and then next week the emphasis on that community healing. But let me ask you a question before I go any further. Are you someone who has experienced or encountered a miraculous healing? And that may have involved the medical profession. It doesn't necessarily need to be a purely medical. But just think, have you been aware of God's healing power in your life or someone else close to you? Many of us have. And in fact, here's the first of a number of stories you're going to hear this morning.
I want to share with you a wonderful testimony from a friend of mine called Elaine. You may remember her. She's the one who wrote the poem that was posted in the church bulletin a couple of weeks ago and read out in our service that Sunday. Elaine has been developing a faith over the last 12 months. And she rang me on Saturday morning in rather an excited state. The story starts 2 months ago when her daughter was diagnosed with a brain tumour. She didn't tell her mum at the time because she didn't want to worry her. But a couple of weeks ago, the consultant said the prognosis was not looking great, and so she thought it was best that she warned her mum of what might be to come. Elaine started praying. And then, on Friday morning last week, a friend offered to take her to South Wales to visit her daughter. When they got there, her daughter said that she had another meeting with her consultant that afternoon, and they were going to do another scan to see how the tumour may have developed or not, as the case may be. When she came home, she told her mum what the consultant had said. They did the scan and he came back to give her the news. It turned out that they could no longer find any trace of the brain tumour that had been diagnosed 2 months ago. Needless to say, Elaine was absolutely over the moon. And I have to admit, I was rather pleased myself. Our God heals.
Isn't that just an amazing story? And we're going to hear some more later on in my teaching. But let me go, before we go any further, let me recognise that the promise of healing is a very emotive topic. It's a hard one for us to address. Some of us will be incredibly excited and expectant. Perhaps we've witnessed dramatic healings in ourselves or in other people. In contrast, there are others where this is a painful and quite a dangerous subject to enter because of your own experience of not seeing the healing that you hoped for, which may have resulted in perhaps the death of a loved one, or you're still living with your own sickness and struggles. Or thirdly, perhaps you're someone who's never really engaged with the whole topic and you're rather nonplussed by the whole thing. And so I wonder what your emotions are right now as we begin this teaching. Just take a note of how you're feeling. And before we go any further, let me pray that those feelings are real. We need to contend with those, but also I just want to pray that they wouldn't be a barrier for new revelation and fresh encouragement from the Lord. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, help us this morning to hear the good news of your promise of healing afresh. Help us to have a renewed faith in this area. Maybe be aware of the tension of our feelings, perhaps our disappointments. But Lord, we want to offer ourselves to you. Bring your revelation to us afresh this morning. Amen. So in our reading, we heard of three healings, one after another. And these come directly after Jesus' great teaching that we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And literally, as it says in verse 1, we read that Jesus came down from the mountainside and a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. So the first thing to register is the shift that is going on here. Jesus has been teaching, but he is now moved into action. Jesus is not just a good teacher, but a man of action and power. And I think we need to take note of this as an example to us as the church, as people of faith. We as a church and a people of faith are not just meant to be teaching the world how to live around us. But the church is called to be like Jesus, a community of action, changing the world around us. So Jesus comes off this mountainside, and we have these three miraculous healings. The first, a man of leprosy. Now in Jesus' day, leprosy was an unclean disease. And what that meant is that if you had contact with anybody with leprosy, you had to be ceremonially cleansed afterwards. And so those with leprosy had to be isolated and were ostracized from society. They had to wear torn clothes, and wherever they went, they had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" And perhaps that adds significance to Jesus' healing declaration of "Be clean." We only know one other thing about this leper, and that is that he comes to Jesus in humility, faith, and perhaps even desperation. And he asks for healing. He breaks all the cultural conventions by approaching the crowd, breaking through the crowd and approaching Jesus. And Jesus, in response, reaches out, touches him, and declares him clean. And he's healed. Now, the second healing is that of the centurion's servant, suffering from some form of paralysis and is terribly suffering. The emphasis in this miracle is not so much on the healing as the great faith displayed by the centurion, a Gentile, not a Jew. But he was a man of authority, prepared to come and humble himself before someone else who also was a man of authority. The centurion says to Jesus, "I am not worthy," he declares. A faithful Gentile indeed. And on this occasion, this healing has happened at a distance. Jesus doesn't even go to the servant. And then there's the third. We're taken to the disciple Peter's house, where his mother-in-law is lying sick in bed with a fever. Jesus just touches her, and she's up and ready to go, strong enough to wait and serve on the party. Again, in those days, religious leaders would have resisted touching someone with a fever, as it would have made them ceremonially unclean. But this was also a woman considered marginalized in society. Again, Jesus ignores the social convention. And then at the end of this passage, there's finally the reading of people who are sick and demon-possessed coming in the evening, and Jesus heals them all. It's quite a busy day for a man who started on a mountainside with his teaching on Sermon on the Mount. So this passage provides us with a picture of the practical outworking of Jesus' ministry. And throughout the Gospels, there is testimony of God's healing power and the fulfillment of his promise that he will heal the sick and set the captives free. That promise from Isaiah, which again is in the passage, "He took our infirmities and carried our diseases." You don't have to read the Gospels for long before you are reading about Jesus healing the people. Now, all those stories, of course, came from a very long time ago, 2,000 years ago. But here's some more recent healings.
When I was 17, I started going regularly to church. And 6 months later, I gave my life to Jesus. When I was 18, I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy, which is facial paralysis. Mum and I went to our GP, who got in touch with Leeds General Hospital. An appointment was arranged for me to see a consultant. A few days later, we went to the hospital and was told that the diagnosis was indeed correct, but that after various tests, the consultant said that he doubted that the right side of my face would ever return to normal, as my symptoms were in fact quite severe. But over time, I might notice a small difference. He asked me to return in a month so he could see how things were. A month later, we returned, and the consultant actually looked quite shocked. He said he'd never seen anything like the improvement I now presented, and asked me to return in another month so he could see whether it was a 98 or 100% recovery. It was at this point that I told him that friends from church had been praying for God to heal my face. And although he didn't say that the healing had come from God, he certainly acknowledged that something beyond his understanding had happened. Well, my friends and I knew where the healing had come from. Anyway, a month went by and I was Leeds bound once more. I saw the consultant, and after doing various tests, he said I was almost back to normal. And that is my experience, or one of my experiences, of the Lord's healing touch upon my life.
Hello, everybody. Late July 2020, my daily reading was taken from Mark chapter 6, Jesus walking on the sea. You can only imagine the shock to both Lois and myself when I was diagnosed with progressive multiple sclerosis in June 2012, having had symptoms since January 2012. This diagnosis meant that my mobility would seriously and steadily diminish over the coming years. My right leg and foot would not and could not work properly. I used a walking stick, was very slow, and had unsuccessful electrical stimulation applied to my muscles. There's no history of MS in my family. I was given exercises to perform, and I know many people were praying for my full recovery. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 in the Message says, "Every word or promise of God proves true." And Psalm 41, verse 3 says, "The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health." The Lord healed me while I was lying in bed, all alone, one morning, as I felt my right hip, knee and ankle definitely touched by a hand and very definitely strangely warmed. Since then, I have been able to walk successfully without support, either humanly speaking or with the need of a walking stick. So often I think we can think God works either miraculously without medical intervention or solely with medical intervention, rather than both miraculously and with medical intervention. For me, he chose miraculously in 2015, and I have enjoyed walking in my healing ever since, with praise and thankfulness for his steadfast love and faithfulness, especially now on the Morven Hills. God's promise that we were looking at last week was, "Come to me and I will give you rest." I like those early words, "Come to me and I will give you."
Again, aren't those amazing testimonies? And I should have explained, hopefully you will have recognised Janet Finch, one of the church wardens for All Saints. But Keith, who was the other person in those testimonies, Keith and Lois, wonderfully have recently moved to Malvern and have joined us at All Saints. And a very warm welcome to them joining us as well. But, those are dramatic healings, and I have to say I've been thrilled and privileged enough to know of being part of seeing people healed of healing. A friend of mine who I prayed for was cured of severe asthma. I know a mum who had chronic back pain and had for years been on a walking stick and was healed and has not used a walking stick again. And all those are very dramatic, but there are miracles that we'll have all have experienced where there have been healing on headaches or general aches and pains. Healings do not always have to be the dramatic ones that we've heard today. And I want us to encourage us to share stories of where you've experienced healings or where you haven't experienced healings and you're still contending or desiring for them. But what can we notice about those healings, particularly from the passage of Scripture? Those healings were all on the margins, those who were healed were all on the margins of Jewish society. There was the rejected leper, there was a Gentile Roman, a woman also of low status within society. The lowly and marginalized are lifted up and recognized and loved by God. The leper and the centurion, they displayed great faith and humility, and they came to Jesus, as did all the sick in the evening. They came to Jesus. But Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law. There was no sign that we know of particular faith expressed at that moment. One healing is one of declaration. One healing is done at a distance. Another is done simply at a touch. Faith played its part in the first two miracles, but it doesn't seem to play a part in the third. And we don't know about the healings in the evening. The key is that God is sovereign, not our faith levels. While we experience the healing we want or not, let the situation point us always to a deeper relationship with God. The point with all this is that there's no formula to healing prayer. The only formula is the presence of Jesus. and that with his power to heal and his desperate compassion and mercy for you and I who need that healing. Jesus knows that we are feeble and weak, troubled and weary, and he is ready to carry our burdens and heal us from our brokenness. But let me go into that place to ask that question, why doesn't everybody get healed when we pray? Time doesn't allow us to explore all the many questions that we may have about healing, why it does happen, why it doesn't. It's an incredibly important topic to address. The Bible does provide some answers, but they're certainly not comprehensive. There is mystery here, and that is deeply uncomfortable for many of us. Why have I not seen that mum with cancer healed yet? Why did that child die of leukemia? Those are two examples that I struggle with and are experiencing at the moment. But I'd love to invite Ellie to come and read a poem that expresses her experience of this particular aspect of healing or not healing.
Tiredness unbroken, fatigue and pain. Day after day, week after week, year after year. Days of not knowing, will this ever end? Doctor's appointments, no treatments, nothing to mend. In quiet times of prayer, Lord, where is my healing? As the spirit breaks out, Lord, where is my healing? Trying again and again, but I keep on failing. My hurts and fears against me prevailing. In the middle of the night, Lord, where is my healing? Searching for strength, Lord, where is my healing? Isolation, loneliness, despair. God, are you even there? Even as I turn away, Lord, where is my healing? When I give up hope, Lord, where is my healing? Whispered promises coming through the air, bringing me joy I did not know was there. Finding my feet again, I press on and on, every step I take to where I belong. In quiet times of prayer, Lord, you were there. As the spirit broke out, Lord, you were there. In the middle of the night, Lord, you were there. When I found my strength, Lord, you were there. Even when I turned away, Lord, you were there. When I gave up hope, Lord, you were there. And my God is faithful, day after day, week after week, year after year.
Thank you, Ellie, so much for sharing that with us. It's a hard place when we're not seeing that breakthrough. The fulfillment, however, of the promise of healing for all of us will ultimately come when Jesus returns. And before that, our own physical deaths will be the ultimate healing as we move from here on earth into our place in eternal life. But Jesus' ministry on earth and his ongoing ministry on earth through us provides a foretaste of what is to come. Revelations 21. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The challenging question for us is, do we continue to believe and trust in the goodness of God and the power of God and all that we've seen and witnessed in the person of Jesus, even when we don't see its fulfillment in my own specific situation? So yes, it's really hard when we're not seeing the healing we want or desire. But we're called to live a life of faith and to trust in the Word of God. We worship a compassionate and merciful God who promises healing. We, of course, are looking at this promise of healing in the context of the COVID and coming out and how it relates to us at this time. So let me ask you, what healing, if any, do you need as we recover out of the pandemic? Some of us may need physical healing. Some of us may need emotional, mental, or spiritual healing. And we're all really familiar with the concern in the nation about generally mental health in people. God promises us to heal in the next life and in this one. So I really believe that through our ministry and through our time together, that God wants to heal. And he wants to heal you. Remember that there's nothing is impossible for God. Let us remember that leper, that centurion, and that mother-in-law, and all those others who came to Jesus that evening. They were all healed. Come now with faithful expectation for healing that you need. In a moment, we're going to go into a time of worship, and then Helen is going to come up and lead us in intercessions. But right now, wherever you are, where do you need to see healing? It may be for yourself, in a mental, physical, or emotional aspect. Maybe it's for someone else. Name that now. Invite you to bring it to God afresh, even if that's uncomfortable. You understand that God, more to the point, God knows that. And as the band plays and sings, continue to ask the Holy Spirit to come into that place of brokenness and bring restoration.
My soul is mercy and grace unfold. I hunger. Our prayers today are on the theme of healing. I'd like to invite you to close your eyes first of all and to think of a member of the medical profession who has ministered to you in the past year. See them before you, a GP, a nurse or a paramedic perhaps, a physiotherapist or administrator, a hospital cleaner, occupational therapist or consultant. It may be someone who has administered the vaccine to you, someone who gave you a helpful diagnosis, someone who listened to you, or someone who sat with you in loss or grief. Ask the Lord to bless that person. Thank you, Lord God, for your care for every individual. Thank you for the way in which so many of those involved in medicine reflect the personal touch that you have for each one of us. Thank you for so many who in the last year have gone the extra mile. Those who've worked beyond their required hours. Those who have risked their own lives to save the lives of others. We ask that you all enable our medical services to flourish. And now I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and think of someone involved in medical research or public health. It might be someone you know personally or someone in the media who is working under great pressure as they seek to advance scientific research into protecting us against COVID-19 and its variants. Ask the Lord to bless this person. Thank you, Lord God, that you created us with minds to think and the capacity to be continually pushing the boundaries of scientific research. Enable all of those engaged in this vital work to receive the funding that they need. And we ask too for fairness and good management in administering the vaccine for the health and well-being of everybody. And now I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and think of someone known to you who in the past year has cared for the well-being of someone else, someone who has struggled during this time of pandemic. It might be a parent who has cared for a sick child, or a son or daughter with a parent in failing health, or someone who has ministered to someone shielding. Ask the Lord to bless this person. Thank you, Lord God, that you are close to those who stand with others in need. Thank you for those who have faithfully supported those who have struggled in the past year, whether in body, mind or spirit. Thank you for your promise to restore the weary. We pray that you will refresh all those who are caring for others. May they know that you are there to help them bear the burden and the heat of the day. Now close your eyes and think of a country in which you're particularly interested. It might be one that is struggling under the pressure of the pandemic, or one where there are people particularly known to you, perhaps a relative or friend or a mission partner. Ask the Lord to bless that country. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the Lord of the nations. Thank you that your hand is on all that you have made. We ask that you will empower governments and world leaders to make wise decisions so as to enable people to live fruitful lives in safety, good health, and in peace. And finally, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and think of someone known to you who has particular medical needs at this time. A friend or relative, perhaps, or someone you know from church who could do with a particular touch from God. Someone who needs to be strengthened in body, mind, and spirit. someone who is lonely perhaps, or living in fear. Maybe someone who has known loss or grief. Anyone who needs to know God's wholeness and healing. Ask the Lord to bless that person. Thank you, Lord, for your healing hand on each one. Thank you that it is you who leads us by still waters. It is you who restores our soul. Thank you that we need fear no evil, for you are with us. Please come with your healing power, and may the Holy Spirit bring renewal and transformation to all those in need of healing and hope. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Helen, for leading our intercessions. Our service is drawing to a close now, but my prayer very much is that you will have experienced and will continue to experience healing. If you would like to be in touch with us, if you would like us to pray further for you, then please do text me on 078. In fact, I'm not going to give you the number. The number will come up on the screen. But text us, and I would be delighted to pray for you, continue to pray for you. You don't have to give us any details, perhaps your first name and what you would like us to pray for, and we'll do that for you. And do let us know any healing miracles. That also is a great encouragement. So let me finish with a blessing. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us, remain with us, release your healing promise into us, now and always. Amen.